Hello, first timers or those who've been here many times before. I'm Anthony, if you're new, and our guest for today is Brandon Ballard. He is the creator of Brandon Captures, a video production company, a media agency, founder of Creative Space and Peak Scholars Academy. He's making way for the things he once didn't have. He's someone who appreciates every part of the journey and makes his presence known. He can be embodied even by a sentence he once said, which is his superpower and abilities, superhuman abilities, is transferring his superhuman abilities into those in need. He's someone who gives back. He's of service. He really enjoys what he's doing, and he's on pace in a creative way, right? Creative pace to build something beautiful. He really, truly loves education and, like I said, wants to create an environment and a space to help others grow in the way they should. So in this episode, we talk about that and much, much more. I'm glad you joined us. Let's dive deep.
I have a dream.
That's one small step for man.
I am the greatest.
You want something? Go get it. Period.
Brendan, so happy to have you here, my friend. It's been a little time coming, just getting to connect to you, but you are an infectious spirit, a good soul, and I'm really excited to dive into your story. But every time I've listened to you in other recordings, you have just like point blank value to give, and you know what you're saying. So I'm excited to do that here, my man.
Thank you. Thank you. That's dear.
So first place I wanted to ask about is actually of a hashtag. What does OMWO mean?
So complete band-aid peel off from the rip. I love it. So it's actually a very straightforward yet subliminal, you know, and I know I was very subliminal in my delivery, but it stands for on my way out. And it's not as sad as it may initially come out, but you know, essentially it is me setting up a path for myself in which, you know, I'm essentially transforming from what most people, you know, originally received me as, which is being a photographer and being the on-the-call guy that, you know, you see move around to these spaces and do this, that, and the third. And I'm essentially, you know, transforming and guiding myself into a different career path in which, you know, I'm still going to offer value in the photography industry and obviously, you know, be able to give back and offer education, you know, still do things for people that have built relationships with me and a very particular trust in my craft. But it is essentially sort of, accountability thing for me. And then also just letting people know, you know, kind of like peeling the Band-Aid off piece by piece. It's all positive things.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's no easy thing to transition like that. I mean, if you look at people in the highest of heights, when someone were to go from, I was actually on a Clubhouse room recently with this guy, Reed, I forget his last name, but he was Neville in iCarly. And for him to go from that to then like being a journalist, it's a complete different swap. So I actually had one question queued about when your values and environment don't align. And especially for you, you had moments, you know, especially within the casino realm after you departed from that, where like you grew out of that and your values changed or your environment changed. Like, how do you go about questioning yourself to bloom out of that and like show other people that as well?
So, you know, it's a lot of reflection, and, you know, I'm definitely speaking from experience and from at least what has worked for me, a lot of reflection. You know, you have to remember that every experience, regardless of what you used to measure, you know, what you got out of the experience, there's something to take from it. There's something to learn from it. There's something that can be applied to what's coming ahead and what's, you know, what you're doing moving forward. So for me, making that transition, although it wasn't easy and the, you know, solutions weren't just clearly easily defined in front of me, in order to sort of find it, I had to continue to reflect back on the things that I did know I connected to while I was in this experience. So, you know, even if you have a job that, you know, you tell yourself you hate a lot of things about the job, there's still some smaller details that you might be overlooking that you actually do appreciate about it. Or there are some things that if your perspective were a little different, you'd be able to take advantage of the opportunity that's really there. And, you know, for some people, you know, it might be you're working at a Rite Aid and, you know, to you, there's no value in working at that Rite Aid. You know that you get a chance to meet a lot of people that come to the register or so you say, but, you know, you still feel like there's not, you know, as much value there. But if you're the type of person that values conversation, you know, you could essentially influence a new form of communication in that environment. And potentially you may work in an environment where there's also a certain tier class of people that come into that space. And those conversations might lead to the opportunities that then allow you to move on further from that job that you don't, you know, appreciate. Mm. So it's really just being able to like reflect on those key things. And, you know, let's say you're immediately uprooted from the job that you weren't so happy at, but you don't know how to find something new because you're challenging that same thing. It's really about, again, you know, reflecting on what were those key things from all the jobs in the past. You know, maybe it didn't have to be defined as a job, but any task that you've, you know, had to do, that you had to complete, if you were a part of a team, you know, what was it that spoke to you the most? And really kind of use those elements to either create a new system that stems from all the things that connected with you best, or, you know, you find a system that you see relates to a lot of those points that really resonated with yourself.
Yeah, I had a great musician that I interviewed once, Marcus Charles, amazing, amazing artist as well. And he talks about basically, I still have the thing in my wallet to this day. He talks about like, do what you need to, or do what you have to, do what you want to, but do them both well. And I think it points to the notion of enjoying the journey, enjoying the process. But for you especially, you're someone who could talk about on this point, because especially in the casino realm, like you started as a security guard and you moved your way up into HR and you valued that I'm going to be a good conversationalist. I want to get to know people better. You're a relationship builder, and we'll get into the Creatives Pace and like Peak Academy, Peak Scholars Academy. But can you touch on that part of your journey and just like kind of paint the canvas for us? I know we dove right in, so that'd be nice as well to get a little background for those folks listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, what that was for me, you know, I think I always define myself as someone who desired for more than I could see, you know, in whatever environment that I was in. And so, you know, a lot of us experience that at a young age, and what it tends to come off as is rebellious. You know, it tends to have a, you know, sort of its own hashtag where, you know, you're placed in the space of, if you don't go the structured, you know, way that's been set before you, then, you know, you're a disruptor, or, you know, you're not meant for, you know, these opportunities, or there's, you know, there's not a system out there that's going to work for you, you know. And I've always been big on realizing that we should all feel like we have the power to either create or influence a better system. So, you know, reaching for that is really kind of what like put me in position to navigate through these spaces. It's what continued to keep me prepared, although in a lot of situations I didn't have, you know, the full portfolio or level of experience or education to actually be ready for all the opportunities that were given to me. But it was really about what I desired to do with it that drove me through. So, you know, specifically speaking for the casino, you know, when I was first hired there, and it's actually funny as well, too, because, you know, I had an interesting experience in regard to getting my interview with them, because I was actually at the time, like a week from being old enough to actually be employed by the casino. But, you know, I was able to get my way in for an interview. And so, you know, approaching the interview, it was interesting because I knew that I was prepared to speak on, you know, why I felt like I needed to, in my own capacity, manipulate whatever the system was to get to that interview point. But I also felt like there should always be value in conversation and being able to really kind of, you know, communicate over what's actually being done, you know, before it's just, you know, looked at in one way. So I was able to speak for myself and speak about, you know, exactly what my intentions were. And, you know, it was quite an intimidating meeting, you know, because these security managers were like all like 6 foot and above. And, you know, here I was coming off with no prior security experience, but just a background from the military. And I, you know, it was just something that I had no idea what kind of world it would be. But I was ready to dive in, and I was ready to do whatever it would take. I knew about sacrifice, and that's what I was ready to do. So the opportunity was given to me because they could see I was ready to make that sacrifice, you know. And something that really stuck out to me was that I knew exactly, and maybe not 100%, but there was a part of me that was so in tune with my mental strength at the time, because on my second day of employment there, I had another fellow guard come to me and tell me that, you know, I was going to hate the job no matter what. They told me, like, no matter what type of person I was, or no matter what type of opportunities I found in that space, I was going to hate the job. They said it would be bad for me. And I didn't let that deter me from, like, what my intention and what my goals were there. You know, I immediately knew to not, you know, like, consume that information in a way where now I'm influenced to move different or to act different, but to just sort of actually take it as a challenge of, like, no, like, if I believe I know who I am, and I believe I know how I look at an opportunity, I'm actually going to want to be who I am and see what that does for me. Yeah. And that was the same, you know, the same energy that I've really applied to a lot of these different points in my life, you know, where I may have been approached with an unknown, you know, sort of situation where, I couldn't define what I was really getting myself into, but I had to just know who I was, and I had to want to stand strong on that. And that was the biggest thing that helped drive me through those opportunities. So again, you know, even applying that same energy allowed me to influence people in a way where I was just a security guard, but there were people that truly felt like I brought, you know, a different type of light to their day, or, you know, to their environment, or to their mental space at wherever they were when they entered the casino. And that was something that, you know, the managers there didn't take for granted. So I was put on a radar, and, you know, people were, you know, I was told that I was being watched, and, you know, it was a process and things of that nature. And I was also coming from not having, like, a previous corporate job where I was really, like, supported and uplifted by management and put in, like, a space to really be who I wanted to be. So that was also new for me as well. Like, I didn't know how to play a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't, yeah, there wasn't, like, an equation or a strategy. I was just being myself and just letting that drive whatever, you know, and wherever. And so, you know, the people in charge, they noticed me. And then they actually approached me with the opportunity to apply for human resources, you know, and they told me, you know, the difference in really being able to make a bigger impact on people and people's motivation and people's, you know, just sort of like how they would consume the idea of, you know, joining us as a staff and being a part of a community and a job that actually, like, you know, promotes culture among their employees and things of that nature. So, you know, hearing that, That was really what I loved to do, even coming from being a security guard. I was like, oh, I'd love to connect people and to help people if they, you know, if I meet them and they're at, like, point A and they just are like, hey, I don't know how to get to point Z, what do you have to tell me? You know, even if I'm not the expert, you know, I'll tell them what I believe I know, what I believe has worked for me. And then I also really just try to break it down a little bit further and understand, you know, who they are, so that we can start speaking a little bit more on that level. And it doesn't have to be about what we've done or what we've been through. It's just about, you know, who we are and what we have to bring to each other's table. So that's what being in human resources allowed me to do, like, really focus on that and infusing that into the job, where I was also given a lot of flexibility in terms of what I wanted that position to be. So they allowed me to actually build relationships with the employee base. You know, it got to a point where I was able to really know just about every employee that we're working with. And I'm talking about, like, an upwards of, like, 2,000, 3,000 employees. And I know everybody by, like, face, name. You know, I know who needs, you know, licenses, yeah, what days, and who works in what department and what area. And, like, I'm literally, like, checking on people. But at the same time, I'm being very interested and helping lead the interview process for people that are coming in to join the team. So I was this big, you know, like, key element in this space where I had an opportunity to impact a lot of people by choice. You know, I could have taken more of a backseat and just absorbed more and not actually decided to be more proactive. But again, you know, I just knew that I wanted to be a part of that bigger picture. And that's really what drove me through that position as well for about a year. And a year on, you know, they also found me and say, well, you know what, you know, in terms of this bigger picture for what our business is about, you know, we have this very interesting space called VIP marketing. And that's all about, you know, building relationships with the people that, like, we really need and that we really love and that we really want to make
sure. So that was the entry point. It's yeah, when you and your brother started. I see.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then that was kind of a real connection for me. And, you know, I was also able to get a brother of mine who had, you know, on the complete outside of the casino industry, was also working in the nonprofit world and had hired me as the marketing director for his company. So we were doing community building work and learning how to connect with community and young people. And I was in the casino being shaped and being, you know, sort of like molded into this professional that could also impact people from this corporate, in this corporate world and environment, you know, and it was something that, you know, I appreciated every piece of knowledge that everybody put into me, you know, from people that I had a chance to meet along the way, from people that I had a chance to work for, work with, work under, you know, and it was a really educational journey for me to just really take in all these different pieces and learn from so many different people, you know, also getting a chance to have relationships with like CEOs and executives of different companies at a time where, you know, I was just still on like a floor level in terms of like, you know, being a worker and you know, in terms of the system.
We'll talk about leverage. I mean, to have everyone's name and face and basically contact information within that organization is huge for someone leaning into their strengths with building great relationships and nurturing people and uplifting them. There's also two points that I take away with. One, you never know who's watching. I mean, to make someone's day, like you go the extra mile every day, you show up, it'll pay off in some capacity. Universe will grant you some great favors. God will be on your side. But then also, the sacrifice part was huge because the Army probably taught you so much about like doing your dues, you know, being the person who mops the floor to the one leading the troops, right? So it's like, that's we just interviewed someone, this Nika Brown, who was in the Army too, Airborne Division, and she said the same thing, just like, it's not like that boss mob type mentality. It's more of like being the leader and walking with the people instead of being on a pedestal.
Yeah, it's all communal. It's all about the unity. It's really about seeing the value in team and not being able to allow the things that are, you know, we're conditioned to allow, you know, identify as, you know, distractions to actually impact us and feeling like we can't be a team. You know, again, like I said, like we should all just be thinking about how to unify. So that's definitely what the military will teach you, regardless of if you're there to learn that or not. And that's something that's big, you know, even when people ask me, what's my take on, you know, should I join the military or not? You know, that's always been one of my favorite questions, because from the day that I've joined the military to the day that, you know, my service ended and all throughout my service, my answer has always been the same, that one, I think that you should understand what the military is for you, and you should make that decision based off if you feel as though you could see yourself growing through an organization like that. Two, I'll say that, you know, when it comes to the military, I think it's an experience that everyone should have. But again, you know, it's just because the knowledge that you'll learn there that can be applied to also real life situations and things and relationships, you won't pick up anywhere else in the way that it's delivered there. You know, at least going through like a basic training and, you know, giving yourself some time to build, you know, relationships with people in a unit and things of that nature, and being responsible for things that, again, you know, in the military, responsibility has nothing to do with age, race, gender, any of that, you know. So I had the luxury of, and say luxury because, you know, it provided perspective for me, but I did my training between Fort Sill, Oklahoma and Fort Eustis, Virginia. And this was all between 2012 and the whole year 2012 was mainly dedicated to my military, you know, beginning of service. And I served in, you know, two spaces that were both unisex. So we did have females in our unit as well. And females had, you know, the same expectations as males, you know, in terms of like physically, mentally, and just really being able to apply yourself where it's needed. You know, and then also when I joined the military, I was also one of the youngest in my unit. I did join as soon as I turned 18. It was actually shortly after my 18th birthday that I joined the military. Wow. And so I was very young, but at the same time, you may be led by someone that's younger than you, and you could, you know, you could be a unit of, you know, men that are all between their 20s and 30s or 40s, and you could be led by an 18 or a 19 or a 20-year-old, and you just have to have a level of respect where you're able to step out of your own mind and of thinking why you don't think that can be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing that says that 18-year-old can't apply his mind to make sure that you're safe and make sure that you have everything you need and to make sure that they're being the best leader they can be. And if you just want to, you know, from the beginning, believe that that can't happen, that's the, you know, that's sort of one of the poisons of society. So I feel like the military really allows you to be stripped of what you think it, everything would be like. And it shows you, oh, wow, like that unity can exist. Let me try to take that back to my community and promote more of that. And that's really what I've been about from the time that I, you know, even returned from like military training.
Yeah, it seems like from there on, you've been on a mission to build great communities, empower other people, uplift people. And I know at one point, like you just talked about prior with being more of a freelancer in terms of photography, videography, and being that sort of agent for brands and companies that need it. I mean, you work with great people like Pico is someone I know of in Philadelphia. That's really great work. But I would love for you to talk about the Peak Scholars Academy and the creative space, because that is most aligned with what we're talking about now. Because it seems as though through your story, it's like in your past, you didn't have certain things. So you're one, leaning into your strengths and creating those environments, but two, creating a place and a community for those who need it because you once didn't have it as much. So I'd love to know how that's going and for you to touch on some points of seeing the impact it's creating within these younger kids.
Absolutely. So Peak Scholars Academy is, you know, it's probably my biggest and most meaningful vehicle even to me, you know, and it's hilarious because, you know, Brandon Captures is my photography business that I'm most widely known
Amazing
for.
Amazing name, by the way.
And
I love that.
Thank you as well, too. I appreciate that. And, you know, and it has my name in it, but, you know, my baby is actually Peak Scholars Academy. And it's because it's something that I believe I've been building all my life, you know, essentially ever since I entered high school. You know, I started to really, really struggle academically. And, you know, it was something that it beat me up, you know, it beat me up mentally and physically because, you know, at the same time, I was pushing myself the same way that I can see, you know, I already understand what type of push is needed for entrepreneurship to be a real thing. I was pushing myself as like a young child, really just trying to stand up to whatever the standard was. And, you know, I was raised by my grandmother who had a particular set of, you know, standards herself that, you know, I could only respect and that I always wanted, again, there with the desire, I always wanted to meet. You know, I never wanted to cause any discourse, you know, just because I couldn't meet a particular goal that would then cause like my family to not be proud of me. So while I was struggling in high school, you know, I really couldn't understand what I could do to just apply myself better. I couldn't understand it. You know, it was like the minute I entered and all the way until I left, I didn't really have like a good experience, you know, learning how to become a better student in that environment. And so that again taught me something about being in environments that also, you know, like they change at their own pace as well too. So again, you have a limited amount of control over the environment itself changing, over the systems in that environment changing. And essentially, you know, we all know that there's already, you know, a disconnection in the American education system when it comes to, you know, struggling children getting the actual
Absolutely.
Support and resources needed to help them, you know, apply and become better. So I was, you know, I was just a kid that, you know, again, I never had any ill intent. You know, I was never even labeled as like a bad student. You know, teachers always had like a sort of reversal of things to say about me because as much as my grades wouldn't really reflect that I'm applying myself as much, they would always mention that I was a very intelligent student, you know, that I was focused, that I was driven, you know, but it was just that, you know, I essentially just always wanted more and that would just sort of take me somewhere else that wouldn't keep me, you know, in right where I needed to be to succeed academically. So struggling like that, I always felt like maybe there should be like a system that I feel like I actually have a little bit more of a voice in, so that if I feel like I'd be a little bit better teaching, like to teach, then that could, you know, sort of match and I could essentially find an experience that I can learn better in. And that was sort of where I started to consume and absorb and just note and look at everything and take everything for like, I can learn from this, because if I don't feel like it's really speaking to me, that means there might be somebody else out there that isn't getting it just like me, you know? And I wanted to be able to provide an answer for that. And so it was just like that constant push. You know, I really struggled mainly through more of like my sophomore and junior year, where I actually had to go to summer school twice, you know, just to make it. And then I also almost didn't make it out of high school, where I ended up only being accepted to two colleges, which to this day, I'm more so credit to my SAT scores. I scored a 1570 on the SAT, which, you know, at that time I did get pretty good feedback on that score. So, you know, that was also surprising to me, not feeling as though I'd be somebody to really succeed in that space. But I remember, you know, I had like a 2.7 GPA. And the cool thing was, you know, 3.0s get you somewhere. So for me, it was always something that, again, you know, I did allow it to be weight on my shoulder and to actually like hold me down and feel like, you know, maybe I'm not doing something right, you know. So at that time, college for me, it was more of like a jump that I wasn't too sure of. But again, I was trying to fit the standard, and I didn't want to make my grandmother disappointed. So it was like, no, college has to be the thing. And so I had my older brother, who was already 2 years ahead of me at Howard, which was one of the colleges that I was accepted to out in Washington, D.C. So I chose to actually attend there. And, you know, I had no scholarships, no financial aid. You know, applying for financial aid was a difficult process for me. You know, being able to find more resources to, you know, provide access for people like me was difficult. So the entire thing for me was really just like a draining process where I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. But, you know, I was willing to just make the sacrifice, whatever it would take, you know. And so at this time, you know, this is about 2011, you know, the end of 2011 when I'm making that decision.
Yeah, that, I mean, to then question the path and then decide to leave because you didn't feel it was right for you. I mean, that's a really, really, really tough thing to do. But one that's actually, it might seem like taking a step back, which is what you need to do. It might seem from the outside view or objectively from others that it's bad, but it's actually the most important and pivotal thing you could have, because then it was just like, from there, let me live my truth and like do what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought up your grandmother too, because I was going to ask you, like, grandmothers are always just dropping wisdom left and right with their experience. Like, what is one thing she has taught you that has just been a staple within your heart and mind to this day? Cause I'm sure there's plenty, but I would love to like surface that, and then we can draw back upon 2012 onward.
Absolutely. No, and that's big. You know, the I feel as though the main thing, and it's so hard because there's so many things, I feel like it's a disservice to even prioritize just one. She's literally a Yoda.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But so I have to say that the main thing has really been to never think you're too good, you know, to always feel as though you should be double checked. You know, that's been my grandma's thing. You know, it's like she was actually like a professional proofreader in her day. She actually worked in the writing department for Temple University, and she actually went to Delaware State University. So, you know, she's actually known for, you know, her proofreading and things of that nature. And that was something that was very big in my life, you know, always having, again, a standard to kind of like live up to know that, oh, like if I'm bringing this here, like this better be right. But even if I think it's right, there's probably something that's not right, and I should go back and check that. And that's something that was super important that she taught me. And, you know, I'll be honest, and obviously we're here for transparency. You know, throughout my entire entrepreneurship career, you know, I haven't always applied it, you know, as appropriately. And I think that's something that we also learned through the journey as well. You know, the reapplication of things that we may have learned in the past and over time that are still just as important and just as prevalent to, you know, utilize today. So that was definitely the biggest thing for me. You know, always give yourself that proofread, and anything that you do, anything you think about, anything you feel with people, relationships, you know, it's all worth the proofread, you know, and I think that speaks to such a bigger picture.
Yeah. And as you touched on before, you said reflection, but it's like, this is like that heat check, you know, when you're shooting threes like crazy, but like, as Cole Bennett says of Lyrical Lemonade, you know, and you would like him too. He's a great director, around our age, maybe a little bit older, but he says, think deep, don't drown. So it's like, how do you reflect on those really important things without getting carried away and maintaining your values and your like moral blueprint? Because you even said it before, like you hold true to like who you are, and you put your stake in the ground of like, this is what I need to do, especially with the example at the casino. But I would love for you to like maybe dive into the faith part a little bit, because it seems as though that can be like a major anchor for you in times of trouble, in times of hardship, but at times when things are most flourishing too, right? When things can go the best, it's also when things can also be the worst, or there's opportunities for that to happen. So I'd love for you to touch on that and how it's such an anchor for you in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, you're great at what you do, man, because this is this one, I love the flow of this conversation. I love the fact that I feel completely comfortable and I can be as open as I know you want me to be here and as I intend to be coming to your platform with full respect. But
Thank you, brother.
this is definitely
Yeah,
this is the area that means most, and I think this is the area that carries the most value, regardless of whatever else I could speak about. So, I respect that, and just to be able to pass that on to anybody listening, that I truly feel like this here carries the most value. In
yeah.
terms of faith, man, it's definitely been a journey again that I feel like without the desire, like I may not know where I could have ended up, because I've always had a lot of options, and I've always had a number of things that I've wanted to gravitate towards, but I also wanted some form of guidance to know that I wasn't just making an unwise decision. And so I struggled with faith in more of the earlier years of my life because my mom and dad were never married. So, in the terms of how I was raised, I, started by being raised by my grandmother around the age of 3. And so, I was super young, and growing up like that, where I was also not spending as much time with my brother, but we were trying to stick together, it was really something that caused me to like heavily think about family and the value of family and how other people interpreted family. And so when I really sort of like, truthfully experience some discourse and different people's perspectives and interpretation of family, that also really kind of caused me to challenge the idea of religion and faith. And at that time, my family, were Christian based as well too. So, I was raised in a church, and I was in a church environment, and I was always taught to believe in God and to let God guide your way. But at the same time, like I felt like I needed more than that to really speak to me. And it was something that I did for years, sort of also in my own privacy, like curse myself for ever feeling like I needed more of like a definition to believe. But that was also something that I don't know, like I said, reflections, man, on both sides of the border. Like that was something that would eat me up. But I would also tell myself that it's equally valuable for me to actually think about these things and to want to really understand and have a defined version of this for me, regardless of what it means to anybody else, because sometime in my life, there's going to be a moment where everybody else's opinion of this, that, and the third will not matter as much as whatever my interpretation of it is. And it might be life or death. And I need to be able to hone in on that too. So I was really trying to figure out, how do you be the best person? How do you be the best, person even for God, by balancing both of those sides of the equation? And that was something that, I challenged myself throughout my entire life, and to this day, I'm more in a space where, I feel strong about my faith. I feel strong about who my faith is in, and I feel strong about what it allows me to do. And I don't attempt to preach it, but I attempt to profess to others that like focusing on whatever aligns with your faith will do better things for you. And so that's just really been what's carried me through a lot of different points in my life, because I didn't do so well with actually having a well-defined, understanding of what my faith was and where I needed to place it. And so there were times where, I would just tell myself, you know what, regardless of what I think about faith, what am I about to do now? And then I'd still fight to have some sort of interpretation of that, so that it wasn't, again, just an unwise or an unclear decision, And so, again, times where I might make something where I'd make a decision for somebody else or something that would impact someone else, constantly asking myself what that means to me, and understanding that from where I'm placed in this earth, I don't I literally don't have someone standing over me saying that I have to do things for other people. So what does that mean? What kind of energy is running through me? And by going through things like that constantly in my life and being placed in environments where literally I watch people invest in me without needing a reason, it really, really started to teach me something. And I'm not sure if I had a chance to directly share this with you in our last checkup call, but there was a young man that I connected with probably within the past 2 months or so, who we had a deep dive conversation about just mental health and, you know, just where we come from and what he told me in terms of like his interpretation about who I was and what he felt for me. He told me that he could see that I had a true desire and a will and a gift to give people God love. And that like that struck like every chord in me in a way where I was just like, I had never like heard it defined in that way, but I absorbed that so well, and it immediately like provided a whole roadmap and blueprint for me to see exactly again what my intention was on this earth. Because again, you know, regardless of what I've ever been through, that's my key thing, to like really be able to, you know, influence love, to show people the value of love, to be able to be in a better position to love people how I intend to love them, to be able to show love and carry love into different spaces. And I think that, you know, that's sort of like at the core of everything that I do as well. So it was very interesting having somebody really kind of give me that deep dive interpretation of, and it was a new connection, you know, somebody who hasn't had years worth of actually seeing how I carry relationships and, you know, how I feel about people and what I'm willing to do for people. So that was something that was very, very interesting to me. But yeah, that's been the biggest piece of my journey.
Yeah, that makes it even more potent that an individual says it like that right up. But it's funny. It's so amazing you brought that up too, because I have something written down here that says, you had a sign holding it on your Instagram, I believe. But you said, my superpower is transferring my superhuman abilities into those in need. And I was like, ah, amen to that. Preach, man. Like that's
exactly. Shout out to my brother Ron Tolles, who runs the organization Ordinary Heroes out here in Philadelphia, and we did that shoot out in North Philadelphia, and that was a statement shoot, you know, and that was definitely something that spoke to me as well, too, you know, being a part of an initiative like that, you know, and that's, I think that at that time, my mind frame was definitely more in tune with the work and the application of my impact in the casino world. Because at that time, I realized, you know, what I was doing was really giving people my best idea of really just how they can apply everything that has energized me, and then actually watching them do it. And so that was really kind of like how I interpreted that. Like, yeah, like I really feel like if I had a chance to define this, it's whatever it is that I have, I just like to give that to other people and then see them be able to like utilize that as well.
Yeah, I love that. Transform superhuman abilities into those in need. It's exactly what you're doing too. It's like you're living what you're preaching. You're living what you found. And something I would love to touch on is, you brought up how, which I didn't know until now, your grandmother was peer reviews or like proofreading for at Temple and so on and so forth. And you are getting into writing, and we've talked about writing. And I think that's such a critical tool for reflection, as that's been one of the themes of this conversation.
Yes.
But how are you in your practice with writing, and like how will that influence? Because you could tell people about the directing goals and
absolutely,
and that's like writing's like the crux of that. So I'd love to see where you're at.
Absolutely. And again, I'm appreciative of you being just a gem in your space, because you're bringing out all the reveals today too. So there's a lot that I'm diving a lot deeper into today that if people aren't listening, they're going to miss out on that. So, but at least at
the time. I appreciate you.
But no, I love it though. I love it. And so, yeah, man, no, that's again, something that really comes from a space where I used to, as a younger child, like I used to write to also, you know, release, you know, I used to write to heal. So, you know, again, transparent moment, you know, I was a young man that didn't mind having something like a journal to really write my thoughts down in, you know, daily. And, you know, I didn't always completely hold myself accountable to being able to, you know, utilize it as much as I intended to, but I did use it quite often. And it was something that actually helped me, you know, define my feelings. It helped me understand my emotions and just how I felt about
people. And And did you do that on your own? Did you pick it up
absolutely,
on your own?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. I picked it up on my own. You know, I didn't feel like it wasn't something that I felt like I had to even really keep it as a secret or feel any shame with. It was just something that I knew, like, you know, conditioned young males aren't just taught to journal. So it was just something where I was just like, you know, I understand that this is something that I really would love to understand my connection to this because I like to do this. And so that was something that, you know, which I think now translates into why I'm such a note taker and why I love, you know, just being able to actually apply like handwritten notes to papers and I can do it for hours. And that's how I love to build business because I love that process. You know, I love also being able to really watch yourself input it, you know, step by step and it to actually be coming from you and not just like always like digitalizing it. So that, you know, that's where my love for that had come from. But I always saw myself being able to utilize my gift of storytelling and being able to, you know, be in front of like providing the story, you know. And so it's just sort of like what I always saw in that from a younger age was I was inspired by actors and directors who could do a little bit of it all. And so whenever I would learn there was somebody that was like writing and acting and directing, producing, that was like, wow, like that's kind of like encompassing all of it because you're able to like visually show the people what it's supposed to look like. You're writing it and giving them that feeling and that aesthetic. And then you're also like in charge of like the direction over what it looks like and how it sounds and what this is happening. And I love that. I love that level of involvement. And so that was something where the industry sort of, it gripped my attention at an early age. And so that was actually what I had gone to Howard to do, really kind of like provide a pathway to get into film. So I had majored in communications with a focus on film production and radio, TV. And within like my first week there, I was actually playing groundwork to get myself embedded somewhere in the industry because I did also have a love for acting, which I still do. And so I actually was booked onto a web series. So that was really kind of like the start of a lot of things for me in thinking about where that career in the film industry could potentially go. But it was just more of like my college experiences, like party promoting and party planning that sort of steered me away from a lot of those things. And I just never really picked it up. During the pandemic, I actually had I don't know if it had come through doing what I love to call my film study because I watch a lot of films, you know, and I don't have any subscriptions to like Netflix or like Hulu's or anything like that. But, you know, I do watch a lot of movies and TV shows and I, you know, consume a lot of film and I like to analyze and have conversations about it. Shout out as well to another brother who I had just recently connected with. And he has an app called Pop Viewers. So everybody has to check that out because it's actually like sort of like social connecting app over movies and all things film. So you can actually like watch films and then like immediately sort of like provide like feedback in like a visual and sort of like social community building way. And then like, you know, invite your friends and y'all can like tap in with what you're currently watching or like what you recommend. And I think that that's like a really nice direction
to like
take entertainment. So, yeah. So like, you know, just kind of like being in that space, that was something that I envisioned for myself. And the pandemic gave me time to actually think about what that would look like for myself at the same time that I was, you know, pretty much prompted by the pandemic to learn how to adapt my photography into the virtual space. So it was just sort of like me thinking about being more just remote with all of my work had me thinking, you know, what are the possibilities with that? What could I be utilizing this time for? And I think that I either watched a movie or a television show that inspired me a little bit more than most. And with that notion, I then decided, you know, let me actually put pieces together because I love the blueprint phase of business. Let me put the pieces together, see what this would look like, what this would take. And if I'm ready for this investment, this is actually a part of myself that I've always wanted to exercise, but I just wanted the timing and the support to also be right and in alignment. So, you know, I did that. And what I was able to bring of that was an idea that I was able to focus on. And then that idea was sort of like a tester project for me to actually carry out and do the steps. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, if I'm willing to invest this time during this pandemic to actually do what I need to do to put pieces of this project together, then I know I'm willing to take this investment. And I did just that. I was able to bring people to the table. I was able to put pieces in place and then develop a product that could also essentially sit under a production company that I also formed and put together during this time. And so it was just like, I saw myself put the pieces in play. And I said, boom, now I literally have a package that's ready to go, and that like I can actually like put like green lights under, you know, and I can start doing things for this. But again, reflection. Let me just make sure that as the pandemic was also changing and continuing to change, that I'm also, you know, watching how I need to align everything else in case, you know, we're not moving the same way we're moving when I pick up the attraction and I started on this idea. So that's what I also did as well there. Mm. So it's an interesting part of myself that I'm still, you know, developing for more of the perfect moment to, again, fully dive in and release, you know, and even publicize that that's the direction that I'm taking. But that's really kind of like where that started and sort of how that grew and where I've come back around to it. And my best friend, he's actually, his name is David Glover. He's actually out in New York working, you know, as a professional creative artist as well in the theater industry. And he's doing some writing as well. So, you know, we've joined forces to work on this sort of project, you know, in its entirety and in totality through however.
Wow.
You know, so
Can you touch on the project a little bit, or is it low key for now?
It's a little low key for now, and I will say only because, you know, I'm big on wanting to have all of my work be like original work. You know, I'm also that's the intention too behind going down the road of building my own company, so that I don't necessarily have to wait or look for an opportunity to be a part of someone else's project. I can bring these pieces together and essentially still open doors and connect and collaborate. So, you know, as I have one major project that I drafted up and have a lot of details fleshed out for, it is something that is a little bit more of an adaptation. And it is also something that in very recent times has also come more to light as well. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm lighting the right type of fire, you know, in the right camp at the moment and everything like that. But the intention is to tell different perspectives of stories that, you know, we are more conditioned to interpret. So, you know, like I said, I'm a person where I love to analyze film, and I'm big on understanding that there's half of what we consume that is literally just meant for entertainment, and half of what we consume that is meant to influence us. And so, and all of it influences us, but I'm talking intentionality and delivery. So when it comes to intentionality and delivery, I'd like to be very integral in being like a source where people can actually rely on content that will actually influence, inspire, and be motivational and sort of change our outlook on even the way we look at certain genres. So that's something that I'm looking at, you know, and I'm inspired by people now that are kind of doing that and really kind of like providing a whole new perspective on these genres that we're used to seeing, you know, just sort of like the same conditioned material. And I just want to, you know, be able to provide new opportunities for people also as well too, and open doors, you know, and provide jobs and all of that. So again, that's the framework in terms of me building it out as a system where I can make sure that I'm putting other people in place instead of it just being something I have to, you know, open somebody else's door.
I love that you have all of that ironed out, and like you know the direction in which you want to be of service to the world and others. And it's so beautiful that narrative is the thing we end up talking about, because I find more and more, it's just striking so deep within me that it's just narrative, storytelling, and perception is like mostly what this personal development field consists of, or just like journey with our own self. And I have such good friends that are writers. I have such good friends that are storytellers that are trying to do such a great job in telling stories from different angles. But I'm so excited to see your project grow. It's going to be cool to see how it comes out. But I was just going to ask on the last point you made of what people inspire you, like what certain great directors or like what movies, because I'm a big movie dude myself. And I would love to know what's the influencer behind the one who's trying to influence.
Whew. All right. So that's an interesting question, because for a long time, you know, I've never created a perfect list, so to say. And then I also haven't always like just had the perfect answers ready, right? Because my favorite movie, hands down, and you know, this just has something to do with how I look at movies and the value that they bring to you. So my favorite movie of all time is Finding Nemo, and it's a very, you know, it's a
nice,
kid-friendly movie. I think that it's a very warm and, you know, interesting. It touches a whole lot of different points and genres all in one, which, you know, as a kid and as an adult, I consume it in a way where I thoroughly enjoy it and feel like I learn lessons from it every time I watch it. So that's why it's my favorite movie of all time, and that has never changed. But you know, particularly I find myself also being very heavily interested in like dramas, you know, a lot of fantasy, because I love imagination, you know. So like the Steven Spielbergs and people that can really kind of like push like the narrative a little bit. But then also, you know, I love people that like the Jordan Peele's, people that can kind of like provide a new perspective and almost shape-shifting perspective of, again, what we normally consume, you know, something that does flip it upside down, but then also like turns it around and then says like, now what do you make of it? You know, just to show us the front view again and say, well, now what do you make of that? So it's just kind of like, you know, I love playing with perspectives. And, you know, it's just when it comes to, you know, I find myself liking all genres. You know, I find myself being open to watching all different types of genres, like interestingly enough as well too. I just started recently having conversations to get more into seeing silent films, because I was, you know, I didn't already have like a category of silent films that I, you know, could relate to or was aware of. So, you know, I've been talking to a few people who are, you know, in that space and like actually like, you know, enthusiasts of that genre. So they're like, you know, kind of guiding me certain directions. So that's been pretty cool. But I intend to actually write more of like drama mixed with, you know, it's a little sidestep of comedy, because I think that laughter is a medicine that's, you know, definitely underrated and overlooked, you know, and often sometimes misused in different ways. Let me put it that way. So, you know, definitely being able to take a big spin on comedy. But yeah, essentially I want to do all genres. And interestingly enough, like the reason why I'm answering your question like this is because when I talked to my friend who we're doing this project together, you know, we were talking about how we wanted to approach creating, you know, different genres and sort of like, you know, understanding what genres we wanted to have, like, in, you know, as far as an entrance in different projects. And we both had different perspectives on how to go about that because of what we wanted to create. And so, you know, I thought that we should like sort of identify what genres already exist and then sort of try to like build a different style off of, you know, incorporating elements that you wouldn't normally include in that space. And then he thought about just completely ripping out the identifiable categories altogether, so that essentially whatever we place ends up becoming its own original genre. So it was just like building in ways like that. That's kind of like what I'm interested in. So one of the biggest projects that I've been promoting to people has been this TV show called I May Destroy You. I don't know if you had a chance to hear about that or see it, but it's on HBO Max. And, you know, it has this profound actress in it. I don't want to butcher her name, but I think it's like Michaela Cole. But she's a British actress. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and so the thing about that show, because again, for me, the same way I consume music, sometimes it's not always about the lyrics for me, you know, sometimes it's the melody, sometimes it's the instrument, sometimes it's just the way the musician carried themselves through the track, like sometimes it's, you know, just the delivery of the whole project altogether. So what I consume in terms of film and shows, and from this show in particular, is that like the theme and what they really taught, how we communicate with others, but also how, you know, we communicate and how it's interpreted by others, and really giving us like a different way to actually, again, reflect on ourselves and just think a little bit differently, be a little bit more considerate, and be a little bit more open to learning what other people feel about things instead of, you know, just going with our own feelings. And so I thought that was really bigger picture to me. And it was actually my best friend in New York who recommended the show to me. So his recommendations, you know, usually come in high favor for me. So that, and it was something that I put about like five or six people on in different ways, and they too mentioned it. Like it was the kind of project that changed their perspectives and changed their outlook on even, you know, how films could teach us, you know, different things.
Yeah, I do think education can be, entertainment can be an outlet to education. I do agree with that wholeheartedly. But I did put that in the watch list. I use IMBD, but I might have to start using Pop Reviewer if that's the full pronunciation of your friend's app.
I'll make sure to send. Wait. I got you.
Yeah. I think you did, but please send again. But dude, I would love for you to have your own floor to just talk about anything that's been top of mind, or knowing you better now, like something I could have asked you that I did not bring up, because I love to give the guest that space, but also there's some things that linger that are so top of mind that I just, when brought up, they're just as potent. So I would love to give you that now.
Thank you. And absolutely. So it would really have to be about, you know, the honest biggest picture, like the biggest picture, I guess, for me, you know, because I like to believe that my imagination sees this just sort of endless journey where I can't measure my creativity or what I'm able to create, or, you know, even the idea of the people that I'm around and what they're able to create. Because I think, you know, I believe in the fact that we're ever changing beings and we're all so creative, and, you know, there's so much more value that will be brought to the table in a week from now, or a year from now, 10 years from now. So the ideas, possibilities are truly endless. You know, every day we see something happen. So for me, you know, because of the school thing in my life and academics really being something that impacted me in such a way where I was just destined to go on this journey where I'd sacrifice everything to learn, you know, who I could become and what I could make of myself, regardless of what was ever handed to me. I do, you know, envision having sort of like, again, like the biggest thing for me is to be an integral piece in education, you know, and really being able to have tools for people to utilize something a little bit more tangible, something where, you know, it's accessible. You know, it's bigger than not only like my city, but, you know, also just the people that I can reach at arm's length. And so, you know, I do envision being this person who, you know, leads what you could call, I guess, like institutions for entrepreneurs, or people that really, you know, just find themselves at the place where there's no system that I can easily find that applies to me, or that helps me, or that I feel like I'm ready for. You know, I want people to not be able to fall through the cracks because of them not feeling ready, you know. And we have systems in place and people in place that provide resources and provide access, and that are essentially here to help build those bridges. But, you know, I just feel as though, again, you know, we all owe it to ourselves to push a little bit more and a little bit harder and with a little bit more intention in terms of opening the door for other people, because there's still just millions of people with amazing ideas and amazing heart and energy and drive, and that are ready to do it and ready to work, that just simply don't have access to whatever is already out there. So, you know, just being able to be more integral in that is like a huge goal of mine. And again, it's really connected to the fact that, you know, I want to be the college dropout, the high school student that almost didn't make it out, that is now, you know, a big piece of, you know, education for people that are just really looking to be something in life, you know what I'm saying? And have that actually be a structured system. So, you know, that's like a major goal of mine. You know, again, even in terms of how I'm using to connect the film, you know, I really want that to be like the big creative outlet for me, you know, to be able to push more messages and inspire newer levels of conversation, so that we're sort of hitting both of those chords at the same time. We're providing education and access, but we're also providing visuals and, you know, reflection and representation that, you know, reinforces this education that we're giving, and sort of puts people in position, you know, both physically, mentally, you know, and we just start creating solutions, man. So that's like it's a really big, all of it stems from my earliest talents and skills and dreams. So that's really also like another big key thing that I'd like to leave with people is, like, you know, whatever talents you used to have, or whatever at one point in time meant something to you, it probably still means just as much, but maybe it's meant for somebody else. And if you think about that, you know, I made a post not too long ago that, you know, mentioned really being able to do something major for your community. It doesn't have to be about what you And if you actually just focus on being a little bit more selfless with what you do, then that can actually be the way that you can connect to your community more or do more for people and put yourself more in position. So, you know, I think that it's really just about that, man. Serving leadership, I preach it all day.
Serving leadership, I align with that. But I appreciate your bigger picture, and I love how it all coalesces with everything and just like complements each other. I'm pumped for you, and please everyone follow right here, Brendan Ballard, man. He's got it on, and man, there's so much here, but I appreciate you lots.
Likewise. Like I said, I mean, you're absolutely great at what you do, and you know, this conversation, which is what it is, this conversation is beautiful, it's inspiring. You know, I'm being inspired as well too. This is essentially a big and deep reflection as well, you know, for me to do this deep dive into my journey. You know, again, I know that my journey is me. You know, it's everything that I could be and everything that I have been. You know, and I'm here to share it. I'm here to, you know, allow it to heal someone else that may find healing in it. And that's what I'm really here for, man.
Love that so much. Appreciate it.